capitalism is going through a spasm caused by its own generation of technologies that undermine itself.
How can you, with a straight face, make the argument that more guns will make us safer?
We need to build a wall, and it has to be built quickly.
Hello and welcome to this week's Level Talk programme. My name's John Harrison. And the big international news over the past week or two has been the standoff between the CIA and the FBI and President Donald Trump. It seems that an attempt is possibly being made to link the failure of the Democrats to hold on to power with the activities of Trump's assistants and their contacts with the Russians. The stakes are high. Most Democrats and more than a few Republicans believe the investigation now being carried out could unearth details that could plunge America into a political and constitutional crisis. For those of us who don't live in America, across the pond or wherever, the whole situation is somewhat incomprehensible. Here to focus on the issues and explain to us all what the earth is going on, I welcome to the program Dr. Edward Lisansky, president and founder of the American University in Moscow, and Daniel Pipes, an American historian, writer, and commentator. He's a president of the Middle East Forum and publisher of its Middle East Quarterly Journal. Welcome to the program, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, if we can just start off with a general question, how serious is this situation? And the White House is now being accused of interfering with the FBI in the middle of an active investigation involving counterintelligence. Should we be concerned about this? Would you like to start, please, Daniel Pipes?
There have been a whole series of rather confusing allegations that really are out there and have led to the resignation of the first national security advisor, also in some way led to the resignation of the campaign manager earlier. But we on the outside really have very little idea of what this all amounts to. Lots of rumors, unfounded speculation. It fits into a larger pattern of amateurism on the part of the Trump administration, and yet whether there are going to be legal or political problems arising from this, really, it's too early to say.
It's too early to say. Okay. So newspaper articles that seem to lead us in the direction of concluding that this all could end up in impeachment and a serious legal battle between the president and not only his administration, but his intelligence services. Those sort of articles then are really very presumptuous. Is that right, Dr. Zelensky?
As someone who voted for Trump and actually encouraged others to do the same, I was pretty pessimistic that all the promises that he made during the campaign, in which I shared, then they will be simply defeated and not allowed to proceed, but what we call establishment and Clinton, Obama, the kind of people. But when I saw the enthusiastic support by at least Republican members of Congress, my pessimism switched, not maybe to all the way to optimism, but maybe cautious optimism. I think that Trump proved that he has his party backing him, except maybe like two, three ROG members. So a question of impeachment now is simply over. It's not in the cards anymore, because to do that, you need not only House of Representatives, but two-thirds of the Senate according to U.S. Constitution. So I think pretty safely we can forget about impeachment and concentrate on positive agenda for Trump to succeed and to what he promised to people who elected him.
I would disagree with that assessment, saying that impeachment is off the table. Yes, there was one restrained, responsible talk, but it comes in the context of a barrage of wild, negative, unfounded statements. I think very much impeachment is on the table. I think that if Trump continues to focus on irrelevancies, such as the size of his crowd at the inauguration, and that he would have won the election if it weren't for electoral fraud and other such negligible points, the Republicans in Congress will be growingly frustrated by this opportunity lost and will look to Mike Pence as the savior, as the one who can pull them out of this morass. And so were Trump to engage in something that were illegal, such as the Russian connection or something else, I think they might be quick to jump on that and say, let's push him out and get someone we can work with.
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Lozansky, do you not think, though, that this sort of general impression of being kind of incompetent is spreading and the American administration sort of is suffering from a lack of credibility? I mean, the whole way that this situation with Reince Priebus and McCabe was handled by the administration, from a distance anyway, it just looks to be so amateurish. It's awful.
Yeah, well, what we see is the results that we have now, pretty unconventional man in the White House. So Trump is saying something that, he is a businessman, first of all. He wants to make deals. And during his campaign, he never hid it. He said he wants to make deal. He wants to make deal with Putin. Mm-hmm. And he tried to convince American public that it's not bad for U.S. if Russia joins U.S. And first of all, of course, in the war on terror. That's why I think for Trump to succeed, I really want him to succeed. I hope that Dan also wants the same. But what we need is a small little like a military success in the joint operation against ISIS. And we have to see whether Pentagon came up with some solid plan. We know that General Mattis not in favor of working with Russia on that, but he has to listen to his boss. And once this operation is successful, even small scale, then America and Russia become sort of like brothers in arms, and we can build on that. Trump to succeed and really keep his promises that he wants Russia to be ally in the war with ISIS.
Fair enough. Daniel Pipes, do you see then there's possible kind of rapprochement, even in a small way, between Russia and China, changing things dramatically and putting the Democrats on the defensive? Well, they're on the defensive now, really, aren't they? But they're also attacking very accurately and very precisely at the administration's weak points.
Well, someone who focuses on the Middle East, I have to say that ISIS seems to me a rather small challenge compared to Iran. And yes, Russians, Americans, and others could easily join together and wipe out this force of several thousand of underarmed fighters with no air force or really much of anything else. To me, the really large issue is Iran. And here, the U.S. and Russian governments look at things very differently. And so, in my view, a temporary agreement on ISIS or even victory over ISIS would pale in the face of the much larger difference over Iran.
Mm-hmm. I think also Dr. Zansky's point is that it's an emotional thing. If the American people see that we're now working with the Russians, it's going to go a long way to defeat that sort of negativity in international relations.
Well, okay, it just seems to me a rather trivial victory.
Okay.
we are two very large armed forces taking on some guys with machine guns in Toyota pickup trucks.
Right.
It's really not a major undertaking, should we put our mind to it.
So why in this case, if it's such a small thing, why U.S. and about 60 or more allies didn't succeed? And first of all, why did they allow even to grow and to exist? And I recall in 2001, during this congressional hearings, which we do like every year, we call it the U.S.-Russia Forum to talk about possible cooperation with the United States and Russia. But this is when Putin actually helped George Bush to defeat the Taliban. Every member of Congress, starting with the Speaker of the House, I know dozens of senators and congressmen stood up and were saying, Putin is our man. We now have our man in Moscow. So I don't know whether defeat of Taliban is kind of different from defeat of ISIS.
Well, that's one point. The other point is that was 15 years ago, and Putin was seen in a far more favorable light by Americans than he is today.
Okay, now I'd like to just bring this back again to the original sort of theme of the program, which is possible legal action against President Trump, and it could come in form of impeachment. There is the opinion that actually this whole situation has been partly manufactured by previous president, President Obama, who apparently 17 days before he left office managed to execute an executive order by releasing vast quantities of Signet, that's his signals intelligence, which has empowered intelligence agencies to target Trump, and not only Trump, but all sorts of other officials. In fact, this is how people who hold this opinion say that Michael Flynn was taken out. Now, these people are saying that there's really been a sort of plot against Trump, and one of the key instigators was President Obama when he was still in power, and of course, those Democrats who are still influential within the two higher parties, the two high bodies of power inside the United States. Do you agree with that, Dr. Lozansky?
I have no doubt that all this campaign is instigated by the Democratic Party and Obama and Clinton camps, of course. And look, just a few days ago, a Democratic Party chairman, we have a new chairman, Tom Perez. So what his first statement was, not about condemning Deborah Schultz and Podesta and all those people who they actually violated the rules of the game of American elections. It was not Putin. Putin may or may not hacked, I mean his team, but who actually violated democracy. Everyone is saying that Putin hijacked American democracy. I don't think Putin did that. It's Deborah Schultz, it's Podesta, and all the other members who had to resign in disgrace. So if I, for example, get a new job as a chairman of the Democratic Party, I would say that now we start with clean page, we have to clean the house. What Tom Perez said instead, let's blame Putin again. It's all Putin's fault. This is simply ridiculous, if not outrageous.
Okay. Now, Mr. Pipes, do you agree with me that there could have been some sort of a plot here instigated by the Democrats? Or would that be sort of normal American politics?
I wouldn't use the word plot, but I do think that the Democrats under Obama have become ever more partisan. The fact that Obama has stayed in Washington breaks with precedent. Normally, the prior president leaves town and is quiet. Look at George W. Bush. So, yes, it is politicized. The political war continues. There are other indications that the old administration is looking to undermine the new one. But I am less certain that the Russian role here is central. I think this is a ratcheting up of partisan politics in Washington. I rue it, but it's a fact of life these days. There's very little comity across the aisle, and it makes it hard for the politicians to get things done.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a short break here.
Capitalism is going through a spasm caused by its own generation of technologies that undermine itself.
How can you, with a straight face, make the argument that more guns will make us safer?
We need to build a wall, and it has to be built quickly.
Welcome back to Level Talk Program. Today we're talking about the standoff between President Trump and the FBI and the CIA. Joining me, Edward Lozansky, president and founder of the American University in Moscow, and Daniel Pipes, American historian, writer, and commentator. But looking at it on a wider perspective, Daniel, I mean, we see Democrats really losing an awful lot of influence in both houses. Could you perhaps say that they're having to resort to more extreme measures who don't have any other way to air their opinions or to make things work for them?
Well, it is true that the Democrats are at a low point in the past century. One has to go back to the 1920s to see a time when Democrats were out of the White House, in minority in both Senate and House, also in a small minority in the governorships and doing badly in state legislatures. Not since the 1920s has it been like this. That is, the Republicans, by the way, have been in this position before, too. That doesn't necessarily lead to partisanships. But in this case, what, for structural reasons, in the American system, primaries tend to be paid attention to by those who have strong political opinions, either on the right or on the left. And therefore, the candidates tend to be more to the right or more to the left than the general public. And therefore, the politicians who turn up in Washington or elsewhere tend to be more to the right and to the left. And this is a structural problem that nobody has found a solution to.
You mean even to get to power, you have to be sort of more extreme in whatever position you stand to be able to win over the necessary votes.
And if you're not taking a very strong stand, you're in danger of having a primary opponent who will appeal to a larger number than you do.
Yep.
So you Yep. You avoid that.
Okay. Now, Dr. Lozansky, your opinion, you stated at the beginning of the program, is that we're over the worst now and that Donald Trump's going to be able to implement his main programs. Now, may I challenge you on that, please? And taking temporarily Daniel Pipe's view, the whole issues that are now being debated perhaps are only the beginning, that the Democrats will keep on finding new themes, new accusations. And if it's the Russians, it'll be somebody else. There'll be all sorts of scandals coming on, and eventually we will get round to impeachment. What do you think of that?
Well, as I said, the chances are this for now, I think Trump is pretty safe at least for 2 years. I don't know what's going to happen, of course, in 2 years, and if the Democrats win both houses, which I kind of doubt, then the chances for impeachment may be a little higher. But still, I think Trump has pretty solid 4 years. Interesting is that CNN, which is kind of a enemy of the state of American people, Trump's, and they definitely hate Trump. They admitted that speech, actually, it's kind of indications that Trump may win even the second term. So I think they kind of panic. This is going to happen. But I want to follow up a little bit about Democratic Party, because we know that, it's the kind of a tradition. The Democratic Party, usually it's on the left. It's more like anti-war, and the Republicans, they are like for Pentagon and, American leadership all over the world. Now, if you look at what's going happening right now on the American political scene, it looks like Democrats are now even more militant than Republicans, at least pro-Reagan Republican. If you look at some of the old Reagan team, and which, by the way, Richard Pipes, father of Dan, was part of, then almost all of them, I know, Pat Buchanan, Paul Craig Roberts, Stockman, David Stockman, Faith Whittlesey, and many others, they are for some kind of, at least on this world leadership and what Democrats are saying, Collins and Sam, indispensable. So they are more kind of for peaceful kind of relations with Russia and finding some compromise.
But we see, don't we? I mean, we see it perhaps more clearly than Americans see it themselves. We see it more clearly from abroad because we're not exposed to it all the time. We see how powerful the American media is, and we see the potential there if these media organizations unite, which they seem to be doing at the moment, against Trump. We see that they can actually swing opinion very quickly and very strongly against the president. It just hasn't happened before, has it, for an awful long time. And so I'm asking you, Dr. Zansky, is it possible? You say no, it's not. But hey, I mean, a lot of very strange things happened in the last 12 months. I think we're in the middle of another unusual bout of events.
I can tell you that the all election of Donald Trump was kind of it's impossible from the beginning, and all the pundits, all the experts. I remember I was in London maybe like a week before the elections, and the BBC had quite a few pundits. Every one of them was saying, no way Trump has a chance. Mm-hmm. No way. And, we had only, if we talk about the media, the only paper which supported Trump was Washington Times. And I know that then, I remember reading his articles, and I also contribute to Washington Times and Fox News. The rest of the media was predicting devastating defeat Trump. So Trump sometimes can make miracles. That's why with Trump, you cannot predict anything. You only believe in his good intentions, which I'm too naive, but I believe I liked what he was saying during the campaign, and I want him to succeed.
Daniel, it's just a double whammy, isn't it? Because even if Trump is impeached, which Dr. Lozansky say is not going to happen, but just say it does, we still have the vice president, don't we? And do we know anything about his politics? Is he likely to continue the general direction of things that Trump seems to be embarking on?
Mike Pence is a normal conservative American politician. I actually worked with him one mm-hmm. time in the House, and I was well impressed by him. He has the normal pluses and minuses of American conservative politician. He is someone who other conservatives will feel far more at ease with. He will not carry on in the same way. He will not have the priorities. So he, by choosing a mainstream Republican in good standing, I think Trump has made it much more possible for him to be impeached.
All right, so you're saying that Trump's made it much more possible for who to be impeached, for himself to be impeached, or for Pence?
For himself to be impeached, yeah. If he picked someone wild, then he would have had protection, but he didn't.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, this whole thing is actually really serious, isn't it, involving intelligence and so on. I mean, if borne out, it has a potential to be the greatest political scandal in U.S. history, doesn't it? But it seems to be that Trump is his own worst enemy because, you know, meddling by the White House is... It smacks of a strategy cover-up, doesn't it, Dr. Luzhansky?
Yes, but if you see what some of the former officials for all those intelligence services, including CIA and the NBA and all those 17 agencies, some of them who now have freedom to speak, they think that it's all manufactured, most of it manufactured, that it's all those agencies became very politicized. And they simply do what Obama told them to do in the in Democratic Party. I think that Trump has to somehow clean it up. And until if he doesn't clean it up, then he'll have a lot of problems.
And does this whole thing then sort of only serve to point out the importance of the Supreme Court? I mean, the only authority that's possibly higher than the president, although some people would doubt that. Because in a way, I mean, this whole situation about whether or not the FBI is carrying out an investigation is ridiculous anyway, isn't it, surely? Because both the FBI and the White House are prohibited for from communication about such investigations.
Well, you're talking about some of the most delicate issues in American political life, and we saw that in 2016 when the FBI was on the rope several times in the political crosshairs, and the director was making one mistake after another, and everybody ended up displeased with him. That's certainly something that gets at the heart of the democratic process. Not sure if the Supreme Court is the key here. I do think it's more likely to be Congress, because it is Congress that could potentially investigate and Congress that could potentially impeach.
Okay, so you sort of place Congress above the Supreme Court, but what happens if there's deadlock in Congress? Would then the Supreme Court remain the sort of ultimate, become the ultimate deciding factor?
If there's deadlock, there's no impeachment, in which case that's that. It's over.
Okay, so if there's deadlock, there's no impeachment. I didn't realize that. Thank you very much. Okay, well, let's hope this is none of this is all going to happen and we all progress happily, but it seems to me that we're not going to progress happily, are we? Because there's so many contrary arguments and so many sort of anti-this and anti-that, and the American people seem to be up in arms about it. You know, I mean, it's quite a clear split between two kinds of Americans, and we feel it in abroad, we feel it here in Russia, heaven's sake, we feel these arguments taking place. It affects us. God knows what it must be like sitting there in the States right now, Daniel.
Well, I'm actually sitting in Amman, Jordan, so I'm not feeling it directly myself.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, right. But do you feel it in that country? I mean, do you feel that what's happening in America affecting the rest of the world in that way as well?
After we talk about Jordan and other related topics, the subject invariably changes to Trump and what's going on in the United States.
Yeah, it always seems to come back to that, yeah. Dr. Luzhansky, of course, what's going on in America is tremendously important to Russia, isn't it?
Oh, yes, of course. I think that at this point, Russians were pretty hopeful that with Trump victory, they have a chance for better relations. Now they're a little bit more careful, still believe that first meeting between Trump and Putin can really make some kind of some progress. So they all anticipating this first meeting and looking for the better.
I'd just like to ask you, how do you interpret the fact that Michael Flynn has gone and his replacement may not actually be that sympathetic to the Russian cause?
Well, there are two points. First, of course, it's not good. I think it was first defeat for Trump. But on the other hand, Mike Flynn was portrayed, whether it was justified or not, as a Putin's stooge. So whatever, any message from Flynn saying that America wants better relations with Russia would be dismissed as Putin's propaganda. So maybe it's not so bad that you resign a new guy who doesn't have this bad reputation. He will really follow the orders from his boss, Donald Trump.
So, I mean, if I can try and conclude about the discussion that we're having today, it seems as though Donald Trump is in power, and judging by his speech in both houses, he's in control of the situation, at least temporarily. It looks as though he's going to be able to push through his politics? He said, well, we're doing that quite effectively right now. But what does all this mean? I'd like to get your opinion, please, Dr. Lisansky. What does this mean in terms of America, Russia, Europe, world peace?
I think that important statement that Trump made, that he is president of the United States, not of the whole world, of the whole planet. And this is important. He can save a lot of money if America, instead of having 800 military bases around the world, will reduce this number, and this money can be used for building, U.S. Army.
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Lisansky just made a really important point. I mean, one thing we see about Trump is that he seems to be saying that I'm going to concentrate on America, you know. I mean, this is my kind of patch now. I'm not so interested, really, in what's going on in the rest of the world, particularly in the Middle East. Now, would you subscribe to that opinion or not, Daniel?
No, I don't really. I think Make America Great Again has two parts. One is domestic and one is foreign, and a perception among many Americans that our standing has lowered substantially in the Obama years, and it's time, particularly vis-a-vis Iran, to make us powerful and a source of concern to our enemies again.
Okay, final question. So your general feeling, Dr. Lisansky, is that this impeachment thing is just not going to happen, and in general terms, Trump will go ahead at least for the next 2 years. He's safe for the next 2 years, as you say, to implement whatever policies he really feels strongly about with the agreement of the Congress.
I'm confident, 2 years at least. I'm absolutely sure that he is going to stay all 4 years. I cannot, of course, predict that he is going to win second term, but at least I wish him the best.
All right. Thank you very much indeed, Dr. Edward Lisansky, president and founder of the American University in Moscow, and Daniel Pipes, American historian, writer, and commentator. And thank you to listeners for being with us today. We haven't come to a conclusion. We can't come to a conclusion on programs like this. All we can do at Level Talk is present you with different opinions for you to make up your own minds. Thank you very much. Goodbye.